You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Joining me now is the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
What's going on? How are things in Texas?
They're nice. It's nice and cool out now.
What's the temperature? What's it like?
It's nice. Jacket weather.
Jacket? So in the 50s? 60s?
Yeah. Like 50s, 60s.
I'll give you the Granberry current temperature.
Yeah.
Current temperature, Granberry, Texas is? Stand by. 58 degrees and sunny. Yeah, that is a little in the tech.
Cloud in the sky.
What kind of jacket you got going today? You got a jacket? You got a shirt? What do you?
Yeah, the light. It's the light stuff right now.
All right. Well, first of all, congratulations on the big World Series win.
Yeah. Hang on a second.
All right.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Big series.
No, that was my cue to you. This is your chance. You don't like to talk about it during we don't talk about it. We talk about it little bits, but
I know you're probably gonna laugh, right?
Right.
After game three, I realized this was it. They were gonna win this thing. Because they were playing so well.
Game three.
Yeah. I mean, even though game three is the one that went like 18 innings, and I stayed up for all of them.
I fell asleep.
I was so mad because the series would have been swept. You know that? Do you know that? Had he thrown that ball to first base and not slid when the second baseman, I think it was Holt, slid. Thrown that ball to first place and overthrown it, causing that run to score. That would have been their third out, game over, Boston wins three in a row, and then game four, bunt up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying that. Let me just tell you, I mean, the Red Sox run was magic. Right, guys who weren't good players in the regular season all of a sudden became the guys.
I don't know about that. I saw that. You said that earlier in one of
something I posted. No, I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr., you and I talked about it. I mean, he became a
star. Yeah.
Right, him.
But Pierce has always been a good player.
He was he's okay. He's not a superstar, though. He's a World Series MVP. David Price never
he's
won.
He's a good player. He's not the greatest.
Oh, no, but I'll tell you, he was awesome. David Price, right?
Price, who was a laughingstock when he got there.
So bad. I remember seeing Pedro Martinez after his game against, I think it was the Yankees, when I think Price, I think he lost against the Yankees. It was his last time he lost in playoffs this year. But Pedro Martinez says, hey, man, he's got to change everything he's doing. He's too good of a pitcher, but it's not working in playoffs. Maybe it's okay. And then he just goes lights out.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the closer, he can't get, I mean, every time.
Sale.
Not Sale, the other dude, the guy with the beard. Every time he comes in, he gives up runs, but they win anyway. So it's like, and then Martinez and Mookie Betts, who had carried him all year, I mean, they were okay in Benintendi. They were all okay.
Benintendi, Mookie.
But they were okay in the World Series. The other guys carried
them. They were
them,
just so good enough to keep them afloat.
Right, but the other guys were Devers, guys in seven runs. I mean, it was like everybody, these other guys step up and they contribute. It was like, okay, just get out of the way, man. This is meant to be. Just give them the trophy. It was incredible. Every time they needed something. And, Mike, how many times with two outs? Like,
oh, yeah, and, you know, they would come back, yeah, and then give it to you in your face and spades.
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, it was like, look, I don't know.
It was a great series.
I don't know. The Dodgers got issues, man. I don't know what their deal is with their computers and things like that. But other teams.
Oh, they're too technical.
Oh, my God. It just. Yeah. Other teams pay attention to statistics, but you don't see the crazy lineups that the Dodgers roll out. It's almost like they're trying to convince you that they're smarter than everybody else.
Right. Well, they're trying to be that team was that long time ago. They made a movie about it too, about all the numbers and the money ball.
I still know the
Athletics. Also the Athletics, right?
Yeah, Oakland Athletics, Moneyball.
Moneyball. Yeah. But it doesn't work always that way. That works one time.
The people out here are rip shit too.
Oh, about that losing those series?
Well, not just losing the series, but it's the second year in a row.
In game four,
their pitcher, right, left-hand pitcher, is throwing a shutout. And he tells Dave Roberts, the manager, keep an eye on me. And, you know, and Roberts pulls him out after he walks somebody, gets the next guy out, takes him out, and then the Red Sox. Guy he brings in walks somebody, brings another guy in, and then it's...
It was kind of a complicated.
Pierce hits a 3-run home run off him.
Yeah, it was a good series. I'm just glad.
Are you glad?
Like
it's
I tell
over?
People, I don't like it going to seven. I don't.
Come on.
Just too much anxiety. I wouldn't mind it being swept, but that one was a good series.
Did you? Did you wear your onesie at all? Did you bust?
Yeah, I wore it. I wore it the night. Game two, they won. I didn't wear any memorabilia on game three, and we lost. Then I put everything on game four, and then game five. So the same thing. I had my jersey and my pajama bottoms on and my hat.
It does affect the cosmic order. People can laugh all they want.
Well, you got to get the right combination.
Yeah, that's the trick. That's the tricky part of it.
So I had every Boston hat out to try, like, if that was going to change, you know, fixing. I put my lucky St. Patrick's green hat out.
What?
And then I just threw my normal old blue. Yeah. I just call it old blue.
Your gamer?
Yeah, my old blue. Put that one on. And that one seemed to work. I was just fine. But I had them all out. I had the old 1940s throwback. I had the green, I had the red, I had them all out, all the different varieties. But I had my camouflage, my Marine Corps Marpat one from Veterans Day a couple years ago. Yeah, I was stressing out.
Losing his mind. How'd your stomach hold up? Your stomach all right?
Well, I told you, I showed you a dish of, sent a picture of a dish of, what those things called?
Antacid tablets.
I had actually, like, it looked like mint in a dish. There was many of them. And I already polished that thing off by the game. That was game two. I was like, oh. That was a stressful game.
They're all stressful. Come on.
No, that one was really stressful. Because that one was, Price started out like, oh. And then everything lined up.
That's the fourth time since 2003. That they have won. They're the most dominant team in Major League Baseball in that since in the new millennium. The Red Sox are the team.
You know, yeah, and I'll tell you what, man, what that truck that Pierce got as the MVP, oh my God, that thing was beautiful.
Was
Boston
it?
Boston Red. I don't know, you know, would you think they would have had a Dodger blue if it was Dodgers
I'm
blue?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. That's, you know, that's just what they roll out. They turn around when they write.
Sure
and they say, look, you can have whatever you want. Right? This is the color we brought on here. Just
so that Boston Red Silverado.
Yeah, come on.
That thing was nice.
You can't have a red truck, though.
I would have a Boston Red truck like that.
You would? You would drive a red truck?
Yeah, like that truck? I would drive that truck everywhere. That Boston Red is so nice.
It's still a red truck, Mike.
It's Boston Red. Red Sox.
It doesn't matter, really, if it's Boston Red. It's still
There's
red.
It's not Candy Apple. It's Boston Red Sox Red.
I don't know. You would have to You would have to paint that on the side of the truck then, I think, if you were going to do it, just to...
If it had some... Because it had dark tires, smoke windows. They should have just put, like, a blue trim on it.
Yeah, and a big Boston logo on it. But Pierce, is it Pierce? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Pierce? He's not going to drive around with a Boston logo on his truck, so it's problematic.
No.
It's problematic. I don't know. Red truck, though. Come on. Red's a girl color. Sergeant Major Green said to say hey to you.
Yeah.
Who's
that?
He laughed when I brought your name up. He's like, huh? He's like, how is he? I said, living in Texas. He said, a lot of Marines living in Texas. And he said, well, tell him I said, hey. He said, I got to see that guy. I said, well, he's not hard to
find. He's a good dude.
He's not
really
hard to
find.
Yeah, you know what? He's, I told him about some of the stuff you and I talk about, and he was like, he waited for me, actually, and found me later, and he said, hey, Mac, I want to sit down and talk to you. And so we sat down and talked for about an hour about how his concerns over the stuff that people are hearing are not the real things. He said they're not the real things like you and Mike are talking about. And
right.
And so it was really cool. So no, but he said to say, hey, how many times did you cross paths with him in your career?
Oh man, I've known him for a long time. Yeah, Green was always he's one of the good guys. He is one of the great guys.
Well, he what did he say? And I can't remember. he laughed. But we were talking about staff NCOs.
Yeah.
And he said, biggest problem in the Marine Corps, we got to get them going. We need more from them. They got to do more.
Yeah. And I was like, Green was like I said, Dave Joe, Green, all of those guys, the good ones, Zickafoos, they all understood it. Right. You know, when we would talk about it, and yeah, he was, you know, Green was one of the guys that when it was brought up, he would get upset with his own kind because it was like, why do I got to hear this from a gunner? Because he's right, he's one of us, and but we can fix this ourselves. Well, the other guys were like, who thinks this guy is? He left, you know, he's a traitor. He left the staff and CO jobs, went to be an officer. I'm like, what are you talking about?
True.
You know, it's kind of like saying, I'm running for office to be a politician. No, you're not. You're running for office to be a civil servant. You know, we've lost focus on what our job really is. I didn't become an officer. I wanted to become better.
Well, yeah.
And so I became a gunner.
It's not really an issue until you say something that's critical.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, you're one of us.
Then we got to draw lines. Who is he? Yeah, he's not one of us anymore. Traitor.
Yeah, traitor.
Yeah,
excelling at your job is being traitorous. Okay.
That's how we diminish, right? Criticism, right? Attack the critic or attack the message of the critic, and that way we can say, yeah, it doesn't apply to us. Doesn't apply to us. But he was fired up. So
oh, that's great. Green is the right man for the job. He's.
Yeah, he was telling me, flat black, Mac, flat black. We go places other people don't. Flat black. I'm like, nice. But he was good. I'd never been to that event. What a cool event. Have you ever been to it?
Yeah.
Oh, I never. I was really impressed by the whole thing, the way the Marine Corps does it, and number of people.
Well, the Marine Corps comes out with a little bit overboard sometimes too.
Yeah, but
yeah, no, it can get a little dorky in there.
The yeah, so
all those second lieutenants from TBS and I and the OCS up there doing the
high five,
lining the race and handing out stuff. It's like, where can you get, a better? Yeah, you can't. These are college grads that are being road guards.
Right.
Best money can buy.
I was walking the Commandant. I was walking with the Commandant, and we're going to the awards area. And this lieutenant's standing by this, like, he's controlling this bike rack that allows access to something. And the Commandant walks up. And he looks, and his lieutenant looks at him, and the commandant looks at him and says, "We're not saluting today, lieutenant." I was like, "That's awesome." You know, like,
well, they lose their mind, man. Right? They lose their ever freaking mind.
One of his buddies walks up and says, "Hey, what's going on? Like, I just got my shit jacked up by the commandant." Like, what do you mean? I forgot to salute him. Like, the commandant of the Marine Corps?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I used to have fun with those guys. You know, when they'd be walking around TBS and I'd be walking around, I'd be like, I'd look at them and give them that stern look like, what? And then they'd all salute. Like, I didn't have to say anything. Just give them that look. Like, whoa. Then they'd salute you. Good morning, sir. You're like laughing. Hey, good morning there, lieutenants. Carry on. And then one of them would like, oh, son of a bitch, hell, got her. Yeah, it's so easy.
That,
I mean, that's like
funny.
Still,
that is funny. So so what else is going on? You're voting.
We already voted.
But you're not concerned that Ron?
Yeah, I'm really concerned.
Well, wait,
about Ron? No,
yeah,
Ron's
you're not
in.
Concerned about Ron.
No, he's done.
All right. He
wasn't even on the ballot. I mean, it already. Well, he was on the ballot. It said automatically elected because, you know, basically they won the elections. And you didn't even get to cast a ballot.
Oh, really?
But he was on there.
He's running unopposed?
Well, yeah, because we won the not the primary, the runoff, his other opponent. We won that. Right. Then we won against his, then we had a guy throw his hat in the ring, and then he ran as an independent.
Right.
And we won against him. So now, yeah, it's too late. Now you can't run. You can't throw your name on the ballot right now. You have to, you know, register prior to.
So there's nobody else on the ballot?
So he's automatic. He's automatically in. He's done.
What happened to the independent guy? How does the system
do it? He could not get the petition signed. He needed like 1%. I mean, it was a really small number. He needed like 250 signatures. He got like 647, but I think when they counted, because the signatures had to be people that didn't vote in either primary, and so he ended up with like 100 something.
Yeah. Now those signatures, you got to go either door to door. You got to go to the mall, or you got to, you know, I'm running for office. And you got it, and they got to have their address and their contact information, and then they go through and they validate everyone. And if you don't,
well, this guy, he went through like all the nursing homes. Like, come on, what a loser! Really? He did it, man. He went to every freaking assisted living position.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Weren't you here yesterday, Sonny? No, sir, I wasn't. Yes, you were. You were right next to Abraham Lincoln. I remember. He was talking to you. What's old Abe doing? I need you to sign a petition. Sure, what's it for? I'll take 24. They're like, sure, just sign it. I mean, that's the kind. I'm like, come on. That was crazy. But we got through that. We weathered the storm. So, yeah. Nice. You know, I get sworn in December 31st at midnight. 1 minute past midnight.
Who, Ron gets sworn in?
Yep, he gets sworn in as the county judge.
Where is he going to do the swearing in?
I think we're doing it in the old courtroom. So the one downtown, the one in the square, the one upstairs.
In downtown Granbury? At that big, at the courthouse place I saw?
Yeah, the big, big, big courthouse.
Very cool looking old building. Old building. Yeah. When was that thing built? Any idea?
Hey, when was the courthouse built? Eighteen hundreds. I got it. It's 1863 or 1869 or something.
I could probably find that out.
Yeah, it's somewhere on there. It's old.
No, it's very cool looking, and then the city kind of square is laid out around it, and all these old town Granbury is very cool looking.
Boardwalk.
Yeah, like that song that I just played, "Little Man" by Alan Jackson, is perfectly set in Granbury. If you were walking around that and you heard that playing, you'd say like, "I'm in this place." You know, and at one point, I'm sure Walmart put a bunch of those stores out of business, and the song would have been perfectly suited for it. But now it's all beautiful little town. So
1890 and 1891.
There you go. Yeah, it's very cool. Looks like something out of Back to the Future. Marty McFly might roll around the corner any second. So, very, 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 very cool. I don't know. A big tourist spot, Granbury. What are you,
1891.
What are you concerned about?
I am and I am not. It's like, it's one of those things, you know, I tell myself, the track record of polling for the news stations, the networks,
right,
is atrocious.
You know what? I said that. Do you remember during the 2016 election, right? The poll said something, and you and I were talking about it. And then I alluded to that today in the first hour, and I got these all these articles that said, hey, the polls were right. The polls weren't right.
You know,
there was only a couple of polls that got it right, but I don't know. Hence our everybody's shock on election night. What?
No, this is the bullshit of the polls are right. They just changed the story. It's the people that got it wrong that are changing the story.
Well, I didn't email back, but Ohio Man, yeah, sent me an email with like a story from the Washington Post, a story from a website I like, 538, which is a data website, and so he sent me a bunch of that.
This is like predicting the weather. Someday it's going to rain in the future. Okay, what day? What time? When we get to the point where you can say, at 5:38 p.m. next Tuesday, you're going to get 1.1 inches of rain. And you do. And it happens. Once we get to that, and we laugh and say, well, that'll never happen. Exactly. So now we're trying to predict the same thing with people's thoughts. You know, we take an exit poll, people, we ask them questions. Who did you vote for? And we ask 25 people and we draw a conclusion on that? Or 100?
Yeah.
You know, statistically, if you're a mathematician, statistic, that is insignificant. It's incomputable. You cannot do that. It doesn't fit in the model. You know, you can't poll 0.003% of the population and get an adequate number. But we believe these polls because why? Keeps us on the edge.
Well, it is part of what fuels our news cycle, you know. It is the way we do it.
The news is controlling too much. We just got to stop.
Oh, man.
You know, and I told – you know the one thing that like pisses me off in the morning? I come in here and the TV's on and it's GMA, Good Morning America, right, with all those idiots, with all the smile, like, oh, sitting in New York. Oh, this is great. Oh, my life is so wonderful. And what are they talking about? They're talking about how Keisha's dress didn't match and how J-Lo dropped her purse on the sidewalk and someone else had to pick it up. You know, it's like this is what we've turned into. This is our pathetic human race.
Yes.
Yeah, so again, please, if you can hear me, strike this planet with great fury and huge fire, Mr. Comet, or meteor. End it now. God, this is, I'm embarrassed to be a human. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it ain't pretty.
No.
No, that's kind
of. Let me choose some other species and I'll be even happier. How dull?
What species do you think would make you happy?
Being a leaf. Seriously.
Dolphins always look like they're having a good time. You know, if you see them on the ocean, they look like they're having a good time.
Not a whole lot of effort goes into being a leaf on a tree.
None. I would say probably zero effort. You're just there, man.
Yep.
You have no...
absorb the photosynthesis of the tree and the leaves.
Yeah, that's what you do.
And one day you just dry up and fall off and turn into freaking ashes.
And then,
life.
And then you get blown all over, and then somebody rakes your ass up and puts you in a bag. Then they send you
to... yeah. Unlucky if you get sucked up by a leaf hog and get grinded up into a little mulch.
Or else you go into a bag, and then you go into the back of a truck, and then you go to the landfill, and then you're decomposing. And then you...
Yeah, what a life. Huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I think leaf, no, not so much.
Or rock.
No, I think another animal would be okay.
No, there's a lot of effort. You got to hunt. There's too much effort into that.
I
want something in that.
You don't think being a dolphin would be fun?
A rock would be more fun.
A rock?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not too big of a rock, because then you'd have to dynamite you. just the right size rock, where you're not big enough to pick up and throw. You can use as decorative. Yeah, that'd be nice. Mm-hmm. My whole life being a decorative rock.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd rather be a dolphin. But dolphins always look like they had fun, like when they were, playing tag with the front of a ship in the ocean as you watch them.
But maybe they're trying to tell you something.
What were they trying to tell me?
I don't know. We don't know. They're too smart.
They look happy, though. I thought they looked happy. They look happy to me.
Well, they can't smile or frown, so how do you know?
They look smile. They look like they smile, though. Dolphins, to me, when I see a picture of Flipper looks happy.
No, you're right. Dolphins always look like they're smiling. Sharks always look like they're frowning.
Right.
But then the problem with being a dolphin, dolphins is they're too communal. So you gotta be a dolphin person. You gotta be a dolphin. You gotta get along with others. It's a community.
Flipper was kind of on his own.
He was in captivity. But if you look at them today, like, you go around and see them, they're all in pods, jumping around, having fun, chasing fish. And then, like, that McNamara guy over there, he's not...
on his own.
He's not, now he's on his own. He's like, he just reaps the award. He doesn't, like, swim very hard, circles and fish. He just comes in and gets them.
Yeah, he doesn't help us out when we're fishing. He's that guy.
That McNamara dolphin.
He's that guy. Yeah. When he gets sick, we're not going to take care of him.
Right. So you got a lot to live up to, man.
Yes, you got a lot going on, and you got a lot going on in your head, man.
Yeah, see.
All right. So you've already voted. What was that like? Did you vote? Did you mail it in? Did you go down to?
No, I went and to the gave my ID, got the button, pushed all the buttons, and then
boom. Did you get your I voted sticker?
Got your I voted sticker.
That's cool.
Walked around with that. And then that's about it. That was the uneventful, that going on. Next Saturday, we've got Veterans Day dinner. I'll be the MC.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so but you said you're not going to be very funny. You're going to be pretty
smart. I got my whole script up, right? Well, they sent me my script. Like, what do I have to do, the timing and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I called them back and I said, hey, so when are we going to get to rehearse this? When is our rehearsal?
Yeah.
And they're like, rehearse. I said, yeah, when we all come together, like all these interested parties, and we go through the timeline, we talk, and then it's first note, first word, last word, then the next, we go through that. First note, last note, timing, everybody knows where to be, da 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 da. And they're like, no, we don't rehearse. I'm like, what? Okay, we're going to rehearse. If you're going to put me in charge of this, and they're like, okay, well, and I said, well, everybody gets there early, though. And we will go through it at least once or twice. Well, what if? I don't care what if. You don't understand. If you put me in charge, I told you, don't make me in charge, because you're not going to like it. Because I have a certain way I do things, and if you don't like it, don't make me do it. So they did it. Now they're like, oh, man, put a monster in charge.
Yeah, I know. So is there going to be a rehearsal?
Yeah, rehearsal. We're all showing
up. Nice. Oh, your early day up.
Yeah, we're going to early day it. But, I didn't ask for, I don't want, every day for a week. I just want, maybe a day, 2 days. We go in, we sit down, we go through this.
Let me tell you, if you want it to be good if you want to, if you want people to come up to you and say, hey, that was awesome. Right? It's like, we're not just going to wing it.
Right. I mean, yeah. I've winged stuff before and it came out good. Because, like, my speeches, I don't plan speeches. I just wing it. I get up there and I talk.
Really?
Yeah. Never plan a speech.
You don't have never. Even the most general of outlines. You just it comes to you as you.
I was the guest speaker at a Marine Corps birthday ball, and I didn't know what I was going to talk about until I stood up at the podium.
And then it came to you.
And it hit.
Wow, that's not everybody can do it like that. That's a gift.
That's from the heart.
Yeah. What a lot of people do is they'll have like a general message, and then you'll meet people when you get there. And you'll hear a story and blah, 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 and then they'll tailor it with that. So it depends. But you're comfortable speaking. A lot of people, some people are not as comfortable, and so they need more of an outline and a script. Now you're the MC. Are you going to speak at any point?
Yeah, I speak during the whole thing. And then... I keep the timeline, but I give an initial one like about me,
And so it's the Veterans Day event.
The Veterans Day dinner in Granber.
In Granber, okay. I'm speaking at the Veterans Day luncheon at Minnesota State University Mankato. What should my message be for all those educators?
Oh, that's tough, man. I mean, do you want to go in there and be truthful?
No.
If you want to be truthful, it's going to be a rough night.
I know. It's going to be a bad speech. Nobody's going to like it. I know.
Yeah. Be like, okay.
I know you hate my guts and you don't even want to be here.
Do you idiots have paper and pen in front of you? Because I'm not going to say it. I want you to write down because you're too stupid to remember this. Yeah. It's going to start out. So, you know what you do? Here's where you start out, Mac. Yeah. You go, hey, if you don't mind, I'd like to do a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Oh.
If everybody could put stand up, their just, hand on their heart and face the flag.
That'll just make me angry, though.
I know, but you got to do that. I mean, we always, when we get together down here, we do the two pledges. You know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And then we do the Texas pledge.
What's the Texas pledge?
Every group that we get together, every time we get together as a group, we always do the U.S. pledge, the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we do the Texas pledge. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible. That's the Texas pledge.
That's the Texas pledge?
Yeah. How many states you know that do that?
None.
Mm-hmm.
Does it go back to when Texas was its own country?
Yeah, there's still the pride of the state.
The Republic of Texas.
Belongs.
And, Pledge of Allegiance to the Texas flag.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal, man. I mean, I was driving home the other day, and there's a Texas flag, and it was upside down, flying on the flagpole.
What?
It's in this little strip mall as I'm coming home. So I pulled in there and went into the offices, and I know the guy that, you know, he owns the place. And I said, hey, your Texas flag is upside down. And he's on the phone with somebody. He's like, what? I'll be right back. He hangs up and he goes out there. He's like, what the hell? And he looks and he goes, shut up. And what it is these Beto, you know, they run around and they're doing this to him. He's caught him before where they'll put the flags upside down. They think it's funny. The Beto supporters.
They think that's funny?
Yeah, because he doesn't allow... He has all this property, and all he has is Ted Cruz signs. And they came to him and said, we'd like to put some Beto signs out there. And he said, no.
Yeah.
They said, well, you have Ted Cruz out there. And he goes, yes, because I support him.
For reason, and, bro.
And, dude, this is the millennial snowflake mentality. They're like, well, that's not fair. What?
I'm confused. I'm confused.
How do you argue? What do you mean it's not fair? I own the property. I get to decide what goes on and on. Yes, but you're promoting one candidate over another. Yes, because I support that candidate. That's not fair. What are you talking about? So this is the conversation he's in with these guys. So he didn't do it. So they stuck the things out anyway. One night, he came in and he's got all the the political signs on his lawn or on the property all over the place. Right. So he collects them all up, throws them in his truck. And then they come back the next day and say, we want our signs back. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean, what signs back? What if I threw them away? That's against the law. You can't throw those away.
Yeah, you can. If they're not authorized to be on your property, you can.
What are you making up? What are you pulling this shit out of your ass for now? You can't make up rules.
Yeah, most states have pretty. There's political signs are not like you can't.
If you give me a political sign to put up in the yard, there's no law saying that I have to give it back to you.
Yeah,
that's just being nice.
Right.
So
now
I can't roll around
and take yours out of the ground and throw them away.
Right. That's
illegal. Yeah. Property owner can.
But for what they did in the first place by putting the property without permission, that's illegal.
That is illegal. Can't put them on public. Most states you can't put them on public ground.
The permission of the owner.
Well, the on public ground, private ground. You can't put them on. But you see people do that shit all the time. You'll see people put them like on an off ramp, a really busy off ramp. You'll see all of a sudden somebody's political sign there. And then you'll see somebody pull over and yank it out of the ground. And
yeah, because you can't do that.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
So they put these signs out. He put them in his truck. So we were talking about it. He goes, what should I do with these signs? And I said, dude, they make great targets. Because they're made of that plastic.
Yeah, they do make
the honeycomb. I said, spray in some 3M, put some glue, some paper targets on there, and now you got perfect target backgrounds.
Right.
He's got like 20 of them. I'm like, yeah, if you want me to shoot them too, I'll shoot them. But then they came back and we're like, we want our signs back. Like, you shouldn't have put them in my yard, on my property. They're not yours anymore. You abandoned them on my property. And they're like, well, that's against the law. I'm like, what are you people thinking? How do you come up with this stuff? This is not, life is not being 9 years old.
Oh, it is, Mike. I know.
For a lot of these people, it is. So then they, for retribution, what they've been doing is they sneak in at night and they flip his, because he has spotlights up on the flag, so he keeps the flags flying all the time. So they flip the Texas flag upside down. And the guy's like, he's funny, man. He's like, these idiots understand? Man, those are fighting words. You put the Texas flag upside down? You might as well come and kick me in the balls. Don't be doing that stuff. I'll hurt you. Don't do that to my flag.
Yeah.
I catch you doing that. I'm going to hang you from the flagpole.
Big news. Big news. Beto and all his supporters and all his money, man.
You what?
Beto and big news. It was big news with all his money and all his supporters.
All his money is from outside of Texas.
Yeah, you keep telling me that, but he keeps saying something different.
I know he does.
I saw him. Every time I see him, he says his money is from the state of Texas.
No, he gets a lot of stuff. If you look at his financial stuff says that he makes a lot of money from like internet donations. But if you look at internet donations are like, okay, how can you, they're all any mouse donations. You don't know who's donating. And what they do is they keep it, you look at all the donations donated at least, so if I was looking at, there's a link on here that goes to his oversight of his finance campaign, and I was looking through it, and there's a lot of money where it's kind of in the gray area of like where it actually came from, and it's like $36 million from just donations online. That's a lot of $5. I mean, you know, people giving $2 and $5, which he's been saying. You know, people got to donate to make $36 million if they're giving $2.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. You know, come on. Don't do this. Don't say this stuff. But, yeah, he's crazy, man. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's saying anything and everything to get in there. Robert Francis. Yeah, I don't get it, man. I don't think he's going to, there's no way he's going to beat him. This is what we got to look forward to, this kind of stuff. This goes back to what we talked about before. And is he a veteran? I heard he was a veteran.
Wow.
Can't.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Someone said, oh, he's a veteran. What? Don't tell me he's a National Guard guy. He 2 years and got out. Okay.
Don't paint me like that.
Someone said that, but I can't find anywhere it says that. But he does this whole held monthly veteran town hall meeting since he was elected in 2013.
Is that the biggest issue in Texas?
No, immigration. But he's all about open borders. He wants to open the borders. He doesn't want a wall. This is that whole argument I got into.
So what do we do with all? What do we do with the endless stream of people that are coming? I mean, so how do we deal with that? Do we just keep budgeting more and more money to deal with them?
You know these liberal progressives that want to open the wall and open the stuff and they quote all this stuff. You got to look at your own history.
He's not a veteran, by the way.
No, I know he's not. I kept trying to find some. So one thing that you've got to look up, read the life and times of a man, a civil rights activist by the name of Cesar Chavez.
Oh.
Cesar Chavez was born in Yuma, Arizona. He wasn't an illegal immigrant like some people think he was. He was born in the United States. He died in San Luis, Arizona. He got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He got all these awards for being an activist on what? One was the National Farm Workers Association, which he co-founded, right, in the 60s.
United Farm Workers.
UFW. Yeah, where he wanted better rights and everything else for the migrant farm workers.
Better working conditions for migrants, which were...
But one of the biggest voices that he had was he was against illegal immigration. He wanted a wall. Why? Because it was unfair for the people that were trying to make a living being migrant farm workers that were legal citizens, and that these illegals would come in and take their jobs from them. So, yeah, he was dead set against this stuff. But yet, history is trying to rewrite itself, and they don't mention that. If you look back in it, you can find it. There's some of it. But when you look at the real Cesar Chavez and who he what he stood for. One of the things he always talked about is what I like about nonviolence bullshit. That guy threw firebombs at people's homes. He became a nonviolent activist later on, but when he first started out, he was a pretty violent guy. But if you start reading about it now, the history of Chavez doesn't talk about he was against illegal immigration. You have to go out and pull these stuff out. You have to go out and find these interviews or these talks where he talks about it, where he wants to stop the be done. And the whole yes, it can be done. You know, that's was adopted as a campaign slogan from Barack Obama, from Chavez, right? That yes, it can be done. But they don't understand. This is that whole, the truth behind the yes, it can be done is, yes, it can be done. We can stop illegal immigration. That was the whole, yes, it can be done. They just click it off. He jumps on board Cesar Chavez and makes him into somebody he really wasn't. He was against illegal immigration. Totally against it.
Yeah, I'd have to read up on him. I mean, that was Martin Luther King in the South, Cesar Chavez here in the western part of the country, right? Up and down the valley, right? Out in El Centro, I mean, huge farms out there. California, huge agricultural state. I mean, they were marching, and Martin Luther King came out here. Bobby Kennedy came out here, and it was a huge deal. And interesting. The United Farm Workers and Cesar Chavez. And so Mike, what is the so? If you're not in favor of, you know, more security on the border, legal immigration, and then dealing with Dreamers and whatnot, and giving them a path towards citizenship and their parents a path towards some kind of legal status after they plead guilty to entering the country illegally, but they don't have criminal records. So let's get beyond this and let's focus on other problems in the country. If we can't do all that and then just say, okay, another 11 million, come on in the country, we'll do it again. I don't get where does this go? We just welcome everybody? Whoever wants to come can come? I don't get that.
Yeah. I don't either.
And I haven't heard,
you're going to make an American hero like he was. He was a very good guy. He did a lot of good things. But tell the truth. You know, what was it? I saw somewhere saying like how the history is rewriting itself.
In terms of
everything, like the whole world, you know, Civil War. The truth behind the Civil War, that it started over the slaves.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, President Lincoln, you know, there's a quote out there. You got to find it. But he says right there, you know, if he could get what he wanted, he would have never freed a slave. But he couldn't. He had to, there was a compromise. You know, people just failed to realize history for what it really was. And they start rewriting it themselves.
Well, you cherry pick history and then you can kind of make it say what you wanted to say. It's kind of interesting, this discussion about birthright citizenship, you know. And instead of going back and reading our history and finding out why we did it and why it was enacted, is it still applicable, or is that somehow been abused now, and it's probably something we should at least have a discussion about? You know, you can't even get there for the cherry picking, you know, and whatnot. Nah, this is what every other country in the world says. There's got to be some other, you got to have a parent that's a citizen in order for the kid to be a citizen. It's just not the accident of geography that determines citizenship, you know, and so. Okay, I didn't know that. So why do we do it? Why did the United States enact it? And how does that affect life today? Or does it? And so, but you can't even get, you can't even get there. In our culture. And it's just, to me, it's the most, I played an interview that the Secretary of Defense did yesterday. At a thing called the Peace Institute. And it's him being a smart guy, you know, laying out, like, the world as it is. And it's fascinating. And it's like, you know what? This is what we don't do. We don't have, like, smart people in longer formats explaining things, talking about, you know, shared interest, who are our biggest adversaries, how you define that, and helping you understand the world from an American perspective. We don't have that. We have people that talk in 30-second sound bites. They cherry pick a piece of information and then blah, and blah. Yeah. That's why I'll tell you. I said earlier today, I hate this time of year because it's just nonstop blowtorch bullshit.
Oh, I know.
Man.
Hey, before I go, and we'll talk about this again another day. But have you heard of the Q movement?
The Q movement. As in, fuck you?
No, the Q.
The Q.
No. Q.
No.
All right, I'm going to send you some stuff. I want you to watch it.
What's the Q movement?
We'll talk about it.
C-U-E?
Q. No, the letter Q.
Oh, the Q movement. No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll send you some stuff. I don't want to talk about it anymore because this will take a lot of time. No. But I want you to look at this and watch these videos I sent you.
Uh-oh.
And read this. It's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. We'll talk about it because it's very interesting.
What else you got going on today?
I got to drive out to Glen Rose, which is a town south of us in Somerville County, and go out there and get some shoe repair.
Shoe repair? What do you mean?
Buck doesn't do shoes.
Because I was going to say, why are we?
We've already been to Buck's. Well, she went to Buck's, and Buck said, "Got to go to Glen Rose."
Okay. Right. Just want to make sure.
That's what I said.
All right. Just making sure we're touching all the wires. All right. All right.
I'm going to send you stuff. I want you to look at it.
Q movement.
The Q, just Q. Well, we're not going to say we're not going to go into it, but Q. I'll send it to you as soon as I get off. I'm going to email. I'm going to text message you. So you have to read it. Okay.
All right. All right. Good luck with your shoes.
All right. Well, actually, I'm going to email it to you. It's on my email.
All right. Email it to me.
All right.
There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman here. Email. I agree. This time of year sucks. On your radio, everywhere you go, it sucks. Make it be over. I'm at that, man. But you know what? The difference between now and years ago was this stuff never stops now. We'll get through this election cycle, right? And it won't even, the sun won't even go down on, let me rephrase that. The moon won't even go down on election night. And what will we be talking about? The implications for this for the 2020 election. And then we'll go into the 2020 election cycle for 2 years. So it's just, it's part of our world. Part of our world. Texas. Texans have their own pledge because they have to overcompensate for getting their asses kicked by Mexico at the Alamo. Every time they would fly their stupid flag over my LAV, my first thought was it looked like the flag of Puerto Rico. Whoa. Those would be fighting words. Yeah. I'm not sure how that turned out relative to the Texans in the vehicle. But normally they're Texans like themselves if you've never been around them, right? And Mike's not even a Texan. He's become one. He's California, Minnesota, but he's a Texan now. Militant Texan. God help him. All right. Here's another email. Why do I do that? I think in terms of the polls, they are claiming that polls were right since Hillary won the popular vote. The run-up before the election was what? How much would she win by? I'm not making that up. That's not a figment of my imagination. The meltdown afterwards saying, how did they all get it wrong? That's not a figment of my imagination. And then you saw these articles that come out and say, but they actually got it right. Then why the stunning shock over the election of Donald Trump, if they all got it right? We should have all been on the edge of our seats then, yes? That night, wondering what would happen. The question is, how much would she win by? Based on the reporting prior to, the meltdown afterwards, the fake news, right? The president-elect throwing it in everybody's face. The fake news. How out of touch America's media is with the heartland. You should go to it. You should learn about it. Maybe you'll begin to understand what you don't understand from your media centers in big cities, in our coastal communities. Out of touch. I'm not making that up. So, ex post facto, they can grab and they can say, oh, here's what it really meant, or there's only one poll that I saw afterwards that had it right. So again, am I misrecalling all of that? That entire meltdown and discussion afterwards about the media being so out of touch with the United States and the citizenry? I don't think so. I think I remember that okay. Because let me tell you, I didn't even have the election returned on because the thought of her being president of the United States nauseated me. And I got a text message from F-18 man at about, I don't know what time, early evening. And he said, are you watching this? I said, nope. And then somebody came over and said, why are you watching a hockey game? I said, I can't watch that other shit. I'm not watching her become president of the United States. They're neck and neck. He might win. I said, bullshit. He said, I swear to God. And so he turned the TV on, turned the news on, and that was that. So I don't think I'm making that up, man. And after the fact, they can say so-and-so got it right or so, but that was not what polling had prepared the electorate for. Stunning loss. You know what I find interesting? I find interesting that let's get rid of the Electoral College. And I find it interesting when... And I said this before, so forgive me if I bore you, but the Electoral College is a compromise like we see throughout our government that balances the rights of people that live in big cities with the rights of people that live in small town America. It is that balance. Why? Well, our founding fathers thought it was important that there be a balance. And so from the early days of the Constitutional Convention, you had this struggle between parts of the country that had large populations that said, no, it should be popular, should be one house, it should be by population, and the people should rule. And you had other parts of the country that weren't as densely populated saying, yeah, not buying that. If you want this to be a nation, if you want this to be a nation, and it's still not settled till the Civil War, if you want this to be a nation, there needs to be a compromise. And what is born? Bicameral legislation. Bicameral legislature. In which... Right, you have the House by population and the Senate where everybody is the same and they have to strike deals to pass legislation. And that's our system. The Electoral College is another one of those compromises. So that in elections, the large population centers don't dominate the nation. And so it's kind of what we've seen, large population centers going liberal in one direction, and then a lot of the rest of the country being not as liberal, being, you know, either moderate or conservative and going the other way. But because the population centers have so many people, they carry a lot of weight. So yeah. Interesting. And I mean, even after the election, when that whole thing came up about, oh, we need to do away with the popular vote or the Electoral College and just go to the popular vote. And I thought Donald Trump made a good, the president-elect at the time said, New York Times is reporting there's now 4 migrant caravans traveling to the United States. If you don't believe in border security, then explain what we're supposed to do. We roll out the welcome mat. We take them in. We give them Social Security cards. We make them citizens because they walked here. And everybody comes? I don't get it. Then what's the point of legal immigration? I'm not sure. But I'm distracted, but the president made a point about the Electoral College, and he was asked about California. He said, well, look, if you got electoral votes in certain states by the percentage of votes, then I would have gone to California, and I'd have campaigned in California, and I'd have got more votes in California. But that's not the way it is. If it was a percentage thing. So, you know, at a certain point, you look at a state and you say, yeah, we're not going to win there. You write it off. And that's the Electoral College system. And so his point was, had I gone to California, had I spent more time there, I would have done better there. And, you know, I could have got, you know, whatever he could have gotten out of California. And if you do that around different states with large populations, then maybe you win the popular vote. But regardless of what you think about the outcome, his argument's valid. That's not the way you play the Electoral College. So I find it really interesting when you see veteran politicians call for that. And it's like, do you not understand the way the country was put together? This democracy thing that constantly is compromising. And it doesn't matter. What matters is whether you get your way or not. Whether it's your way. If you don't get your way, then you want to change. That tends to be the way it goes. So anyhow, if you're just tuning in to the program, in the next hour, what you'll hear is the serious question that I asked to a number of people when I was in Washington, D.C., was explain to me Afghanistan. And they did. And so I shared the explanation with you in the first hour. And that is making sense of Afghanistan from an American strategic perspective. So I would invite you to listen to that. Pretty interesting. And then in the second hour, a pretty novel interview done by Colonel Kevin Norton, formerly the commanding officer of the 4th Marine Regiment. That interview is with Warren Jorgensen. He joined the Marine Corps, was sent to China as part of the 4th Marine Regiment, and talked about life in China. Pretty good life. And so he talked about that, and then he talks about them leaving China. Guys had wives that had been stationed there and families, so they would never see him again. They would go to the Philippines. They would be sent. Most would be sent to the island of Corregidor, and which is out in Manila Bay, at the entrance of Manila Bay, a navy island really, with batteries on it, shore batteries and things like that, and a big tunnel. For those of you who remember history, he was wounded and captured there by the Japanese, and would spend almost the entirety of World War II. In labor camps as a laborer for the Japanese, but he survived. So you'll hear that interview, which is very interesting, and then you'll hear obviously a repeat of the gunner. Mac, the gunner seems to be chartering the black helicopter more and more these days. The Cesar Chavez thing, I would have to look at that, because again, I think what happens with a lot of historical discussions is you cherry pick it. You know, you cherry pick it. And what suits your argument, you pick. And then, so I don't know. I don't I don't know that much about Cesar Chavez's stance relative to illegal immigration and then comprehensive immigration, if that makes sense. So he might have taken a stand on the specific issue of this, but his overall stance was that. So I don't know enough about that to even comment on. So I won't know. And then I guess I have to read about the Q movement. Anyway, so film at 11. All right, have a great day on a Thursday on Marine Radio. Over and hold it, hold it, hold it. Out.